We have had in the last 7 months in our lives this perfect storm that has fallen upon us where really the only thing that we could rely on was God. And through that, God has challenged me and Jerry to start to recognize him even further. And one of the questions that God asked me not so long ago was, do you love me for what I do for you, or do you love me for who I am? Wow. Right? Do we love God because he answers our prayers and we are saved, or do we love God for who he is, the creator of us, the world, everything? Right? We, as humans, face a really challenging time trying to understand a God that is magnificent and is beyond our comprehension. He's transcendent. We really can't understand him. Not in our limited capacity, and we really truly won't understand him until we go to heaven, and we probably won't understand him then either. But God gives us a glimpse of who he is. He can talk to us. He walks with us. He talks with us, right? God is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is in all places, everywhere, all times. He transcends all time. He is here right now, right? But he's also out there, and he's also in space. And he's also over in Saturn, and he's in Mars, and he's everywhere. He has all knowledge. He knows everything that you have done, will do, and may do over the course of your life. Does that scare you? It should. We're going to start in Ephesians 1, 17 through 21, if you guys want to flip to your Bibles. God, who is transcendent, who is beyond our comprehension, still chooses to this day to come to us and to talk to us and to give us revelatory knowledge of who he is. The revelatory knowledge that God has for us is incredible. True revelation of God's word as he speaks to us should always line up with scripture, right? True revelatory knowledge should always be to edify, to grow us, to help us. Maybe it's to work through a wounded area. Maybe it's to help us forgive somebody. But we're going to walk through how do we get revelatory knowledge today. Because in revelation, knowledge of who God is, there is freedom from the things of this world. Ephesians 1, 17 through 21. Now, Paul is speaking to the church, right? And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of God, of his power toward us who believe, according to the works of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age but also in that which is to come. God has given us the ability to talk to him. Paul's talking here about a spirit of wisdom. We're not talking about the discerning wisdom. We're talking about a spirit of wisdom that God gives us when we communicate with him. And how do we communicate with God? Prayer. How else do we communicate with God? Scripture. Scripture and prayer are two essential aspects of our life. And in those moments when God gives us wisdom and he gives us revelation, not only just for salvation, but also through to walk through the trials and tribulations in our lives, we can begin to see paths and we can begin to see God's faithfulness. We can begin to see God's love for us. We can begin to see God change our lives. That old man that we used to be, when we have given that up and we have that revelation knowledge of God and we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, we are then what? A new creation. And in that new creation, we gain the mind of Christ. And really, what this is talking about is how do we totally and fully develop the mind of Christ? How do we begin to walk, not in anger, not in frustration, not in unforgiveness, but how do we begin to walk as God walked, as Jesus walked? That's tough. How many of us have problems sometimes forgiving people, right? Oh, trust me, I know. Sometimes we have problems with anger. Sometimes we have problems loving people that are unlovable. But we're to love all people. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. When we look at the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis, we see that God talks to Adam directly, but he never told Eve directly not to eat from the tree. She never gained full revelatory knowledge. She had knowledge, but she was never told by God. And when we are told by God something that impacts our lives, that changes our character, we begin to have full ownership. And when we have full ownership, God can do amazing things through us. That transcendent God that is everywhere, how do we gain a full understanding of the Spirit? How do we gain a full understanding how to walk with him? It is not easy. It takes work. Sorry, guys. If you want to grow in Christ, it's going to take your effort. It is going to take your work. It is going to take time reading Scripture. It is going to take time in prayer. For we can't really understand God, right? Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Our thoughts are not always God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. Do we want God's ways in our life? Do we want his will in our life? Do we want to walk a full-fledged Christian life? If so, then we take a look at things around us. All of mankind has always tried to connect with God in one way or another. If we look, there's thousands of religions, and many of them are pantheistic, which are they worship things of the earth. They worship trees, they worship the wind, they worship demons, they try to worship everything that was created, but not the Creator. We believe, at least I do, that God is the Creator of all things. So why worship what was created? We should worship God himself. And that is difficult. That is difficult. Science today will tell you to worship science, right? That's the new thing, worshiping science. Atheists now are coming together in churches so they can have community. They don't want religion, but they want that community. The thing that we have here, that family environment that we have. Don't you kind of find that funny? Because the creator of the universe created everything in order. He created all of us, as he did with Adam and Eve, to have relationship, not only in ourselves, among ourselves, but with God himself. So that is actually the first category of revelatory knowledge in God, nature, the creation. We look into the stars, we can see God's creation. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Revelatory knowledge first comes from what we see around us in our environment. When I was in college and I had to take an evolutionary biology class, I thought it was hogwash, even though I wasn't a believer. What they were telling us did not add up. Okay? I realized at that time that there was something greater, even though I didn't know what it was. And if you talk to people that are honest with you, they will tell you by looking at the natural order, because everything is in order on this planet and even in the universe, it proclaims who God is. They just don't know how to understand it or put it together. The second aspect of revelatory knowledge is divine revelatory knowledge. Scripture is divinely given to all of mankind, right? We believe that the Scripture was given to us through the Holy Spirit. It was given to the authors. The authors wrote it down. They wrote it. We now have it. It is written text for us. It is a living word. That living word can change lives. That living word can develop in us new character. Is it the information that's in the Bible, or is it the work of the Holy Spirit? I often tell this, the youth, and even some of the young adults, texting is not anything but passing information. Okay? It's not communication. Just reading Scripture is just knowledge. It does not mean that it's going to enlighten in you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that does that. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that changes our lives. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. When you read Scripture, if you read Scripture in your mindset, not in God's mindset, it can be twisted and it can be manipulated, and you can make Scripture all about you rather than God. We need to have that mind of Christ, right? So when we're reading the Scripture, we're asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come. As I read this, enlighten me. Teach me, Lord, what you have in Scripture for me. Anybody ever read Scripture and then read that same Scripture a couple years ago and go, when did they put that in there? That is enlightenment. The Holy Spirit is then sharing with us the things in our lives that is pertinent at that time. Everything in the Bible is pertinent, but sometimes God needs to highlight things so that we can work on it in our lives. Or maybe he wants to take a story out. Maybe he wants us to gain knowledge from somebody's mistakes in the Bible or a story out of there. And he'll do that. But it requires us to meditate on God's word. Full meditation on God's word. It doesn't mean you have to read five chapters in a day. You can read four verses or a verse and you meditate on it. Meditation is the key to fully developing an understanding in Scripture. Also, you know, looking at commentaries and looking at this, but for God's revelatory knowledge for us, if we want Scripture to come alive to us, we have to meditate on it. We have to think about it. We have to pray about it. We have to seek the Holy Spirit. We like all the fun parts, you know, all the love and the glory of God. But boy, there's some things in there that talks about our sin life that would require us to evaluate ourselves. And in that meditation, we will evaluate who we are. We will evaluate the things that we're falling short at. And when we evaluate those things, those are the moments that the Holy Spirit can touch us. We can recognize our faults. We can recognize the sinful patterns in our life. And He can change us. Agreed? You know, it's a funny thing when you really look at Scripture. Satan knows Scripture. Demons know Scripture. So why doesn't it change their lives? Because they never let it come inside of them. They never let it be part of them. Scripture, which is the living word, needs to be part of who we are. Anybody ever say a bad word or two? Or three, a day, okay, an hour. All of us sometimes have a propensity to say or think things that are not godly. But that word that's inside of us, that will develop and grow inside of us, changes us. The third aspect of divine revelation comes in prayer. Now, we're talking just personal divine revelation. I'm not talking about praying for people, healings, or anything like that. I'm just talking about personal divine revelation. Just a quick show of hands. Has anybody here ever had God or an angel come talk to them in prayer? Amen. We need that in our lives. When God Himself speaks to us, when we are in prayer, it is life-changing. We develop ownership of that, okay? And if we don't have ownership in God's Word, we don't have ownership in the personhood of God, not the things that He does for us, we're missing our mark. First century church had ownership of what Jesus had told them because they were there. We're now 2,000 plus years away from that, and we're still trying to understand it. Like Eve, it's difficult for us sometimes to understand, and we can become deceived. But prayer, meditation and prayer are absolutely essential. 1 Corinthians 14:16. But the nature of man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Knowledge of God requires us to have that mind of Christ that is developed. It is a matter of intimacy and prayer. It is a matter of intimacy with Scripture. You want your life to change? Read the Word of God. You want your life to change? Pray. You want your life to change? make a commitment beyond just, Lord, just save me. Thank you. I'll have eternity. The American church today is missing this. We are missing the mind of Christ. We are missing the desire to have a deepened relationship that is based on who God is rather than what God does for us. We need to develop Christians that are willing to dedicate time, effort, to further go deeper into God so that God can minister to those around us. Pastor Ray has talked about it. I've talked about it. We've all talked about it. We believe an awakening is coming. And if we do not have a full, in-depth relationship with Jesus, we're going to be in trouble. There's going to be casualties, and we don't want casualties. The mind of Christ requires us to pray with an attitude that is full of humility, that is full of obedience, righteousness, single-mindedness on Him, and a life of faith. Anybody ever been at a restaurant and they feel that God's told them something about somebody and you're supposed to go talk to that person? Okay, yeah, it's happened to me. It's kind of weird. People freak out when you do that and you walk up to them. When our mind is linked to God, we begin to know the things that are going on around us. God will give us spiritual insights to situations, to problems in the church, to problems in people's lives. But in that, He will give us full joy. It's a weird, dynamic. And when we're praying, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophets, test all things, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Rejoice always. Even when I'm in trial and tribulation, yeah. Trust me, over the last 7 months, Jerry and I found some times really hard to rejoice in the garbage that we were stepping through. But we did. Most of the time. Not always. But pray without ceasing. Why pray without ceasing? How do you pray without ceasing? Pray without ceasing. God, you want me on my knees all day just praying? No, that's not what this is talking about. Praying without ceasing is a two-way streak, okay? We speak to God the things that we need, or He can even read our minds. But we also, as we're praying without ceasing and asking God to go forward in our day, He is also communicating us without ceasing. We want to have a life that God continuously talks to us. Don't we? In everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God. It is God's will that we not only give thanks, but we communicate with Him through prayer all day, every day. That we are so linked to Him in relationship that He can change us from the vile creature that will spend an eternity in hell to an heir to the throne sitting right next to Him. Don't you find that amazing? That God would love you that much. Do not quench the spirit. How do we quench the spirit? When we don't spend time with God, when we're not spending time in God's word, when we're not spending time in prayer, we quench the Spirit of God, because God no longer has access to us. We didn't open up to him. We don't want to quench the Spirit in our lives. I pray that all of you want to have the Spirit of God moving and talking and walking and developing in you. We are not to despise prophets, right? We're to test all things. Despising prophets, really, when God's giving us revelatory knowledge about our lives, it is a prophetic gift. So God's talking truth into your life. Don't despise the truth. Listen to it. God's telling you that there's an area that's wounded. He's telling you that there's an area that's hurt. If he's telling you that he wants you to do something, do it. Don't despise it. Because I can tell you from personal experience and counseling with people, God has told people to do X, Y, or Z, and they're like, I don't want to do that, God. Why? Why do we not want to do what God has for us? We place our importance. See, at that point, that's when we're loving God more. We're loving the things that God does more than we're loving God himself. That is where we fail as humans. When we begin to despise the things that God has for us. Well, God, I don't want to be a missionary in India. Why not? Why, God, I don't want to marry that person. God, I don't want that job. God, I want more money. God, I want this. I want that. We make it all about us. And as soon as we make it about us, we will despise the things that God has for us. I promise you. We need to hold fast to what is good, and we need to stay away from the things that are evil. That's pretty self-explanatory. Doing good things for God is not how we get to the road to salvation, but doing good things are what God's called us to do. We're to be a people of love. We are to be a people that invests in our community. We're to be a people that seeks to help those that need help. When we stand back and we truly, honestly look at who God is, we can see that his goodness is all around us in the creation that God's made. We can also see the good in all of you and among ourselves. We may not always like each other, right? But we're called to love each other. All of us have good points. You are all created by God for a purpose. You want to know what that purpose is? Begin to seek God for revelatory knowledge of what your life call is. Begin to seek God in reading Scripture. Begin to seek God meditating on Scripture. Begin to seek God in letting the things of your past go. Begin to let God move in you, not for what he does, but for who he is. And that's my challenge for you today, is when you go home, that's your meditation for the week. Do you love God because he saved you? Or do you love God because God is the creator of all things, even you, and that he has given all these things to you? God and who he is far more important than what he does. If you love God for the things that he does for you, and God stops doing those things, you will begin to hate God. Begin to step back and walk away from him. But loving God for who he is will bring nothing but joy for you in every situation, in every battle, and in every trial, every tribulation, in every joyous moment. It will bring you a fulfilled life in Christ, filled with the mind of Christ, that you may overcome all. God has put this congregation together. We are different than every other church in the area in a lot of ways. Okay? But we're called to a certain purpose: hope, healing, and wholeness. What is your hope in? What do you need to be healed from? And how can God make you whole? Those are the questions, really, that revelatory knowledge can answer for you. So as you go forth this week, I pray that God begins to touch you. I pray that you will spend time in the Word. I pray that you will spend time meditating on the Word. I pray that you spend time praying to Him, just focusing on Him, who He is. That is far more important than anything else in our lives. Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you praise for today. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, we praise you for your Son who died on the cross for us. Lord, that in his passing you gave us the Holy Spirit that can minister to us. And Lord, we just embrace the Holy Spirit and who he is. Lord, we ask that he would begin to touch lives. Lord, that he would begin to move through this congregation, bringing knowledge, bringing healing, bringing wholeness, Lord, bringing hope. Father, I pray that we begin to further dedicate our lives to you, that in all things we would honor you and glorify your name. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.